You are listening to Cosmic Truth
with Janine Regan Sinclair and guests, merging science with spirituality.
Hello everyone and welcome to Cosmic Truth. I'm your host, Janine Regan Sinclair, and joining me today is an amazing author called Barry Eaton. Now let me tell you about Barry. Barry has wide international experience in all areas of media and entertainment industries. He's a well-known radio and TV presenter, having spent many years in Australian broadcasting and various commercial radio and TV stations. His profile embraces news and sports anchoring, lifestyle shows, current affairs, talkback radio, and he produces and hosts the internet radio program RadioOutThere.com. So check him out, folks. It's in its 11th year and is enjoying a worldwide audience. As a writer, he has scripted and narrated many documentary films and corporate presentations and written numerous feature stories for magazines and newspapers on everything from astrology to travel. Barry is a qualified astrologer, psychic and medium, and in 2012 did what he terms a postgraduate course in mediumship at the world-famous Arthur Findlay College in the UK. He was also given the 2012 Hall of Fame Award by the Australian Psychics Association. Barry is also an accomplished speaker and has spoken about the afterlife at the Nexus Conference in 2012 and again in 2014. His first best-selling book, Afterlife, has been acclaimed all over the world, helping people to cope with their fear of death. And his second book is called No Goodbyes. This reveals new information from advanced spirits in the afterlife who believe that the time has come to let people know the answers to the mysteries they've been puzzled about for generations. So without further ado, hello, Barry. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Janine. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. Wow, that took a while to read all that, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize I'd done all those things myself for a moment.
So much juicy information. I wanted to get as much in there as I could. The first thing I'd like to ask you is, how do you go from broadcasting to being an international medium author? What happened?
Very simple. One word, Janine. Divorce.
Oh,
and
okay.
This happened to me back in 1990. 89, 90 actually, and at that stage was hosting a radio callback show in Sydney, Australia, as well as running a PR company and productions and all sorts of things like that. And I reached that point where I thought, oh, I've got to do something else with my life. This is just not working out. So one of my guests on the talkback show was a guy called Gary Wiseman, and Gary is an astrologer, and he used to come on and take calls. And I said to him one night, Gary, I'm going to do your astrology course next year. And he nearly fell off the chair. He said, what? Where did that come from? I said, I don't know. I just need a complete change in life. And I've decided to do that. So he did my astrology chart for me and told me all sorts of things. I did the course, a 12-month diploma course. And that was the beginning of a new direction in life for me. I'd always had spiritual leanings. I'd believed in many different areas of the metaphysical world, shall we say. And I had astrologers and psychics and numerologists and various people as guests, amongst many other guests on my radio programs. So it started off that way, and I was still working on radio and still doing various things, but also working the other side of my life, building more and more as, first of all, an astrologer. And then that opened up clairvoyancy and psychic abilities for me, and everything took off from there, Janine.
I did read in your book about the tragic loss of your partner, Judy, and that had a huge effect, didn't it?
Yeah, a few years after my divorce, I met Judy. I was actually told through automatic writing that I was going to meet somebody special was going to come into my life. I'd started a bit of automatic writing, and then she did. But we were only together for 4 years, and even though we knew we had a huge soul connection, our relationship only lasted 4 years until she passed over very suddenly. And that, of course, shattered me completely. But we just started a radio program together from home, and it was going out every Sunday morning called Celestial Power. I've written about this in my first book, Afterlife, the full story of this. It was quite an amazing lead-up, a lot of big stories on the way to that one. But anyway, when Judy passed, one of the guests on the show was a medium, And she'd only met Judy very, very briefly, because by that stage Judy was sort of within a week or two of passing. And she, about 3 months after Judy passed, she rang me and said, would you like to be in touch with Judy? And I said, well, yeah, but she's only just passed. I mean, what do I do? She said, I've been able to get in contact. So come around on Thursday and we'll get in touch with her. Well, I did. There's a long story in that. I've written the whole thing, as I said, in Afterlife. But the short version of the story is that after the incredible connection that Ruth had with Judy, she, as I said, she only met her very, very briefly, didn't know anything about her, nor our relationship or anything, really. And it convinced me that it was definitely was Judy. And then I was told that the elders on the other side had given us permission to continue this. And I was shown a few little ways that I could communicate without the use of a medium. And that then began my career as a medium as well, because I was able to go from, once again, automatic writing right through until the time where I was able to communicate with Judy directly in the afterlife.
It's amazing, isn't it, how losing a loved one can open our abilities back up. A similar thing happened to me when I lost my father 14 years ago. My psychic abilities came back to me that I had as a child with a passion. I really understand that one. There's no going back then.
Well, I've always maintained, Janine, that when people close to us pass over, they leave us a gift. And I don't just mean, you know, a legacy and the will or anything like that. In my case, and in your case, it was either rediscovering or opening up to new areas of spirituality. Sometimes it can be the gift of freedom if somebody's been sort of really bound down looking after somebody who's very ill. It can be many, many different things, a gift of understanding, the gift of enlightenment, and even the gift of grief, because from what I've been told, grief is an essential part of our own soul development. And without exploring these emotions, we would not grow as a soul, which is the prime purpose of being here in each lifetime. So even that as a gift is something that we don't even think about.
Yeah, that is very apt in my life as well, because the grief that was compacted within my energy field from past lives, it damages your vibrational frequency. It's a low frequency energy. Yep. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying there. What would you say to skeptics about this type of thing?
I don't tell much to skeptics at all.
I love a good skeptic, though, don't you? It's like, and do you get them at all?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was doing a talkback show in California the other day, just to do a bit of name dropping, and the first call in was a total skeptic. And he was having a go at me and calling me a charlatan and all sorts of things. And I sort of got a little bit annoyed, because I thought the personal attack is not really warranted here. You can say you don't believe in what I'm saying, but to personally attack me, I got a bit upset about that. But the thing was, it opened up everybody else, and I all of a sudden the phone board lit up and all these other people were wanting to ring in, not to defend me, but to at least sort of add their side of things. So he did us a favour. But as far as skeptics generally are concerned, I mean, I'm skeptical about certain things. I guess you are too. But in this instance, I really don't worry about skeptics, Janine, because I figure that anybody who has to defend a position of blackness at the end of the life and saying, no, there is no such thing as the afterlife, what a load of rubbish, when we die, we just go into complete blackness, that's the end of everything. What a nihilistic attitude is that? Who would want to defend that position? I mean, are their lives so meaningless, so miserable, that at the end of it, they're going to say, oh, that's it, okay, I'm out of here, blackness, give me blackness. So I figure, I feel sorry for them.
Well, I'll tell you what I do, because last year I found an article in the Independent newspaper online about the Pope. He'd made it clear that exorcism was now a charitable service to be offered by the church. So if you need exorcists in the church, it's obviously spirits there. And, you know, not many people are going to argue with the Pope, are they? So that's what I quote to skeptics.
I don't know. I've never tried.
But it is a good argument. The fact that the church has now made it a charitable service, exorcism, I think is fantastic.
Well, there's been quite a few breakthroughs in recent years. I'm not as a religious person per se, and I wasn't brought up in the Catholic Church, but I was very pleased to see that recently, a few years ago, whoever was Pope at the time, I don't keep count, but whoever was Pope at the time admitted that there was no such thing as hell, which is rather good. So that if, for those people who do believe in hell, I mean, so if this is another breakthrough that exorcism is now a charitable service, wow, we are really starting to make headway, aren't we? We're becoming spiritual and not dogmatic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's still online. I think it was around about the 3rd or the 4th of July. I remember it because it was near Independence Day, and it's the Independent newspaper online. If any of our listeners want to go and read that, it's definitely worth looking at that article.
Yeah. I'll look it up myself.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It might be coming in handy in the future, Barry, when you've got some skeptics to speak to. You never know.
Yes, in the Afterlife conference that we had out here in Australia earlier this year, I was a speaker and also the MC, and I was anticipating that we might get a couple of skeptics there. So it didn't happen, but we are having another conference, the second one, in Melbourne in January next year, which I'm also MCing and speaking at. So I'll have that there as my little backup statement, Janine. So thanks very much for that one.
Yeah, it's certainly worth looking at. The other thing that I picked up on when I was reading through your book was how addiction affects people. Now, this is something that I deal with my clients, and I've got a project on at the moment because I am really trying to get that information out to the world about entities and energies and, you know, how addiction is brought in, people are born addicts and stuff like that. Can you just explain a little bit more about that to our listeners, please?
Okay, it's a fairly complicated area here because it does go back to part of our destiny and our life purpose, because from what I've been told by the group that I work with on the other side, everybody has certain destiny points in their life. We can talk about this at a greater level later on if you like. But if we, say, reach a destiny point and we ignore that and don't take the opportunities, possibly because we become addicted to drugs or various other addictions, but particularly to drugs, then that can alter our whole purpose in life. It can take us right away from our original intention. And as I said before, our basic intention for each lifetime is soul growth, to increase our vibrational level, because the afterlife is in another dimension of reality, which vibrates at a much, much higher rate than ours. And the more our soul develops, the greater the vibration, and that's how we move on into various levels in the afterlife. So that if you are then having your vibrations affected by addictions, particularly drug addictions, it's an ongoing thing. Because when we pass over, our soul, which is also wrapped in a spirit as the vehicle, takes on the imprint of some of the health problems that we've had, and particularly areas of addiction, mental health and things like that. So the spirit then goes back with his imprint into the afterlife and has to be worked on. And sometimes this can take more than one visit back to the afterlife for a life between lives session, and we may have to come back again into one or even more lives to be able to play out the karma from addictions. So it can have a very long-lasting effect, but it certainly has a short-term effect on the spirit and the spiritual development of each individual. So drugs are very, very harmful, and I don't know about in Britain at the moment, but we are having so many problems with methamphetamine. Here we call it ice, and we've got so many addicts at the moment. It's very, very perturbing here in Australia. And these kids particularly, they just don't know what they're doing to themselves. They're hurting themselves so much, and they really don't know. We've got to get the word out there, Janine.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think somebody needs to make a documentary about youngsters and even, you know, adults becoming possessed or having nasty spirit attachments because they were taking drugs. So I dealt with a woman that had it. She stood up at a talk I was giving once, and she said she had the devil in her head telling her she had to kill herself. And it was drug-related, yeah. And it was a really horrible, nasty black entity in her, wrapped around her brain and her spinal column that I removed for her. Mm. But if kids knew what's happening, that their energy centers are opening up and they're vulnerable to all these nasty dark things that could be flying around where they're hanging out with these drugs are going on, maybe they would think twice. At least knowledge is power, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Well, that's it. And you're so right about the dark energies. I mean, we don't want to go into all of this, but there are certainly dark energies on Earth. And some of those dark energies, of course, still find their way back to the afterlife. And if we get caught up with these, and particularly if drug addicts end up in prison, because what I've been told is prisons are just absolutely controlled by the dark energies. And the light workers just cannot get in there because these dark energies have total control within prisons. So if you're in there as a drug addict or a drug dealer or whatever, then yes, you are really open prey to these kind of dreadful entities there, which you can set you back many, many lifetimes.
Definitely. When I work with people that have got problems like that, the one important thing I do for them is get to cancel their contracts with their dealers and the people that they've been taking the drugs with. Because like you say, it's karmic stuff coming round and these people have come back into their lives and yep. They're trying to get clean, but they're still feeling these energetic ties to the people that are supplying them and so on and so forth. So there's more to it than just dealing with the addiction. They need to deal with the spiritual side, don't they?
Oh, very much so. And I think the more we can get the word out, Janine, the better. And, you know, people like yourself that are doing this kind of work can help spread the word. But these kids, you know, they're indestructible in their own eyes. They don't think that they're ever going to become addicts. They do it for hits, for peer group pressure, who knows what. They just do not realise what they are letting themselves in for.
It is a major problem, and it's the same in the UK, it's the same in America. I do a lot of my shows, a lot of my work in America, and it's a global problem these days.
Oh, very much.
The one thing that I do hope from it is that they learn something on some level. I think, you know, when they do get involved with drugs, that they are learning something on the level, whether it's realizing that there is an astral doorway to other realms of existence through the hallucinogenic effects or something like that. But, you know, I like to think that they're going to bring something back with them that's positive and some kind of development, like
well,
you say.
Well, sometimes, I mean, there can be a karmic thing, and there's no way of us telling these things, but some people do come back again as former drug addicts in previous lives and various other aspects of addictions to help those around them. That's their karma. So they have come back again. But, you know, we've got no way of telling this. But for people getting onto drugs for the first time, it's just not worthwhile even opening yourself to that possibility.
Yeah, and the other thing, people don't realise that, you know, even medication can cause the same problem. They tend to think this just happens to junkies and people like that, and it doesn't. Yeah. It can happen to people that are on prescribed medication as well. Let's move on, because I've got so many questions I want to ask you about all of these lovely, juicy information in your new book, No Goodbyes, which is your follow-up from The Afterlife. And I read that you thought The Afterlife book was going to be it, and then all of a sudden, bang, another one's coming in. So what happened there?
Well, I finished Afterlife, and it was published in 2011 here in Australia, and then got picked up and released in the States in 2013 and a few European countries as well. And I thought, well, okay, I've done my job here, because Afterlife was essentially my story. I traced my in-between life journey from the death of my previous life right through until the birth of this one, showing and talking about what happens once we do leave the body and go back to the afterlife. It was written on the basis of helping people cope with their grief and know that we don't die. The body dies, but we are an everlasting soul energy that just goes back where it came from originally, into the world of spirit, the afterlife, whatever you like to call it, and then, when ready, comes back here for the next round of human experiences on the earth. So I finished all of that. I had some wonderful contacts, some great help from mediums and various people in spirit. And I thought, okay, well, I've done that. What's next? And I was told, in no uncertain terms, well, I'm sorry, but that's only just the beginning. You've got at least one more book that's going to come out there. So I thought, oh, all right then. And so I started to research the next book. I was also given basic instructions to leave my house in Sydney and head north for a while. And I moved up to the northern part of New South Wales here in Australia, up near a place called Byron Bay. And I've had various spiritual adventures here, but my next book, No Goodbyes, only took me 12 months to write. And it just flowed because of all the situation that I was in. It was just a continuation that was spirit leading me where I needed to go, and everything opening up and just falling into place. It was absolutely delightful, even to the point of view where at one stage I got a bit not stuck, but I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to get a few more things in this. What do I do? And I put it out to my spirit guide, because I work with this wonderful spirit mentor who's a master spirit. He just likes to be known as M. And I went to sleep one night, and just before going to bed, I said, M, I need something else. Just, you know, what do I need to do? Please give me some help here. I woke up the next morning with the words ringing in my ears, examine your past lives. And that was the first thing, you know, when you open your eyes, sometimes there's a message there or a thought or whatever, and it was as clear as a bell. So I thought, okay, well, that's fair enough. I'm very much into past lives. I've done some past life therapy for other people. And I did a lot of regression for my first book, Afterlife. So I was having lunch with a friend of mine who's a clairvoyant and healer, and Belinda Grace. And we were having coffee, and I was telling her about this. And I said, but the trouble is, Belinda, I just don't know any good past life regressionists. And she said, well, funny about that, because yesterday I ran into this lovely lady called Colleen that I've known for ages. She's been away. I've been away. We suddenly contacted each other again. Here's her card. So I contacted Colleen. Yeah, just like that, yeah. So I contacted Colleen, and she turns out to be a registered therapist on the Life Between Life programs with Dr. Michael Newton, who's written books like Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. And in fact, Colleen is now running the entire Life Between Life program here in Australia. But she was working in Byron Bay and living up here at the time. So I rang her, and we had a meeting, and she decided she wouldn't read my book, and my first one, Afterlife. And I had this four-hour regression session with her, and it was all recorded, and I've still got the recording. And when I listened back to it later, the details that emerged, I had no idea about these past lives. I thought I was going to go back, you know, and I've always been a mad seeker of knowledge about the Egyptian way of life. I love Egypt, been there a few times, and I've got Egyptian statues and carvings and all sorts of things all over my office here. I thought, oh, yes, I'll go back, and I was something in Egypt, I don't know what, but no, I was taken off in an entirely different direction, much to my surprise. So that was a tremendous adventure, and that's how No Goodbyes came about, that I just explored at a much deeper level the afterlife and how the afterlife impacts on us and our daily lives here on Earth.
Yeah. I am very aware of the Life Between Lives. I interviewed one of their practitioners on the show last year. I've got some of Michael's books, so it's interesting stuff. Anybody who is interested in finding out more about No Goodbyes, where can they find it, Barry? Where can they find your books? What's the best place to go?
Okay, well, they're published by Tatcha, which is an imprint of Penguin Books in the United States, so available in the States and all through Europe. And I guess the best way is to either go online and just Google No Goodbyes, Barry Eaton. In fact, I've got a website, Barry Eaton No Goodbyes, actually, EATON, BarryEatonNoGoodbyes.com. So I've got the website there, which gives a few more details about everything. But the books are available, you know, through all the regular outlets and, of course, through online as well. But you can get them from Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the other places around. Here in Australia, it's mainly in bookstores out here.
And for people out there who, like me, love little short chapters, there's 55 chapters in this book. So it's my kind of book, because it's one of those you can pick up while you're cooking the dinner and just read a quick chapter in between. And I like books like that. So lots and lots of different information. Fantastic book. The other thing I wanted to ask you about that I read about in Afterlife that fascinates me is what spirits still experience on the other side. And You talk about TV and the afterlife. Do they have TV?
Well, I mean, they don't all sit around with little smart television sets and whatever. It's quite amazing because every invention that we have here is first thought of and workshopped, I guess, in the afterlife, and then these ideas are sent down to us here on Earth. So all the inventions are first invented and then given in dreams and in moments of inspiration to the correct people. So they are very, very technologically involved on the other side, evolved, I should say, on the other side. And from what I've been told, my spirit contact over there that I work with through a trans medium, his name's John Dingwall. John says that when they need to, if they're having discussion groups, and which they do a lot of, if something is needed, they can virtually come up with a kind of holistic screen. But this can be extended to watching other things, even as far as sport is concerned. They can actually tune in and watch the Olympic Games or a football or a cricket game or a baseball game or whatever. So they are able to keep in contact like this. But it's not all sitting around the old TV set in the lounge room principle. It's it's very, very different.
Yeah, I just had this really wonderful image then of all of these ghosts sitting around a 40-inch screen, arguing over the remote. Okay.
That's right. Well, everybody changing it with the power of their own mind on the other side. Come back, yeah. I was still watching that.
The other thing you mentioned is mental health. Do you think people take their mental health issues over into spirit with them?
Yes, mental health is something that they're very worried about. I mentioned my friend John Dingwall a few moments ago. John comes through a fantastic trans medium I work with. And for those who are not quite sure about trans mediumship, it's where the medium allows another spirit from the afterlife to come in and actually communicate. And John Dingwall was a former Australian screenwriter and film producer that I knew before he passed over. And John came back to me through this trans medium, and he represents something like 95 to 100 different spirits in the afterlife at all various levels. So the information that John is giving me is not just him. I call him my spoke spirit, actually, because he is the mouthpiece, if you like, for all of these other spirits. And when they want to get a point across or they've got an answer for me, their thoughts are coming through him. And it's just amazing the ability that they have to get this information out to us. And in describing all that, I've totally forgotten what your first question was.
It was about mental health. It was about mental health.
Oh, mental health. Yes, of course. Okay, thank you very much. Mental health. John was saying that, on behalf of all the other spirits, that they are very concerned about mental health because, once again, we get then down into areas of so many people with mental health are being drugged up to the eyeballs, not necessarily for their own benefit, but sometimes for the benefit of the institution that they might be in, or for family, or for other personal reasons. And so the whole mental health area, once again, can create this huge imprint on the soul, and something that has to be dealt with once they get back to the other side. Because, you know, when we, as you know, you're a medium yourself, Janine, you know, once we leave the body as a soul and we go back to the afterlife, doesn't mean to say that everything is immediately hunky-dory, all these dreadful things are lifted and you've issued with a harp and a cloud and said, off you go, sunshine, go and enjoy yourself. It's not like that at all. We have to go back and we have to look once again at what we've done in this lifetime. We have a life review. We're not punished, we're not hurt, but we look at the things we've done in life. We have to account for the decisions we've made, the good ones and the bad ones, and understand what we've done and maybe some of the implications and the domino effect that our actions and our decisions have had on other people. And we learn to find out just ourselves, the hurt sometimes that we've given people, but also the joy. So when we go back again with these mental health imprints on our spirit, we have to heal this. And it can take a long time, and it may not once again be healed in one return to spirit. It may well be that you've got to come back with this karma. And it's not easily done. So we have to be very careful about the whole area of mental health and how it's treated, how we are looking after people with mental problems. And I think all too often it gets into the too hard basket. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or anything. I'm only just passing this information on that I get from the other side.
Yeah, well, that's another area that needs to be looked into, I think. And I totally agree with you. People are being drugged when they probably just need a healer to remove the entity or the attachment or do some kind of gentle, you know, exorcist treatment on them or something like that. Certainly the people that
I... I mean, so many mental problems also aren't necessarily mental problems as such, so that you ended up in that dreadful old place in London called Bedlam. They're not necessarily those ways. They can be. They can be drug-induced. They can be high states of emotion. I mean, who was that amazing writer or musician or so? I can't remember. I made a film about her. And she was told that she put into a mental institution. But she basically had physical problems, I think, relating to her periods or whatever. And it was just convenient to shove her away in a mental home somewhere.
Yeah.
So, these are things that we need to look at.
Oh, it's widespread as well. Another area. I mean, we could do a whole show about that, Barry, I'm sure, what we both, you know, the stories we could tell between us, I think.
Sure.
That is another show in itself. Well, we've got a caller on the line, so let's go and have a chat with this caller. I'm sure she would like to talk to you, so I'm going to bring in the caller who's on Skype now. Hello, welcome to Cosmic Truth. What's your name?
My name's Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome to the show. What would you like to ask, Barry?
Barry, I was wondering if you could connect with Spirit and give me any messages if possible.
I'm sorry, I can't hear the caller,
okay.
Janine. Can you pass the message on?
Yeah, she's just asking if you can pick up any messages from Spirit for her.
Oh, look, I'm sorry. I don't do that on radio.
Okay.
I do some personal consultations, but I'm not a medium who does things like that, especially from one side of the world to the other. Although I must admit I was just given the word mother, so I don't know whether or not you were anticipating something, but it could be your mother or it could be somebody on your mother's side of the family, but I was only given one word. Does that mean something to you?
Yes, my mother is passed.
Yeah, she is. She's standing behind you and she's holding in her hand a big white daisy. It looks like a big white daisy flower, and she wants to give it to you. There's a lot of trees around her as well. There's something to do with nature going on there. Did you used to go out in nature with your mother or something? Because she's pointing to the trees like she wants you to be outside. Does that make any sense?
I do walk in the state parks all the time now, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
because I was just given another small message there as well. I was shown a pair of manacles or handcuffs or something like that. Was your mother not necessarily handicapped, but was she sort of very restricted? I would take that, the handcuffs, as something, you know, sort of not able to have that freedom. Just before she passed, was she very restricted in her movements or something around the hands or arms?
Yes, before she passed, she had very little mobility.
Yeah, and that's what she's saying there to me. So it's basically what we call survival evidence, and that's, she just wanted to let you know that she is there, and as Janine says, she's with you at the present stage, and she is around you quite a lot. You've got a picture of her somewhere along the line that you have a photograph of her. Is it displayed somewhere?
No, actually, I just moved, so everything's in storage.
Oh, okay. Well, that must be the message then. She wants you to get that picture out because she feels that if you can look at that picture every now and then, a photograph of her, and you might like to put it in a little frame or whatever, that sometimes she'll be able to connect with you. And if you think about her in a quiet moment, then that can help you and it can help the connection between the two of you. But it's She just wants to let you know that she's okay and she is around you. And it's a very simple message, but sometimes the survivor evidence is nothing more than that, just to let us know that we are still loved and they're safe and well on the other side, and life continues.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to you, yeah, when you're out with walking near these trees, I'm seeing 5 very tall, narrow, like fir trees. There's something important about being with those trees, is they're all the same height and in a row. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but she's pointing to the trees as she wants you to go to these trees. So maybe when you're out and about, does she, you know, take yourself a nice picnic blanket or something and sit near the tree? I mean, I've taught people how to communicate with trees before, but I feel that there's something, the spirit of these trees needs to be connecting with you as well. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you both so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Because we're in various parts of the world, but we still can connect. An interesting thing happened, and I talk about it in my book, No Goodbyes. This lady contacted me from America, and she'd read Afterlife, and she contacted me about a strange thing that happened when her son's picture came through on a new telephone, a smartphone that they got, and she wasn't quite sure how that could happen. And as such, when it happened, we were just talking by email, and I got a message from him, and I contacted her by email once again and passed on the message by email. And she was absolutely blown away. So they do connect with us, as you well know, Janine, in many different ways. Why not, if they can use the power of thought or vision or whatever, but why not use emails? Why not use, and I believe some of them are even using things like Facebook and social media now to connect from afterlife.
you can get messages through from anything, even listening to a song on the radio or something on the TV. They can tap into, you know, any kind of energy source. They're all portals at the end of the day, aren't they? Energetic portals. Yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Barry.
No, I wasn't expecting it. I hadn't opened myself up to do any readings, but I know that I work with my spirit helpers when I do any interview at all. So they obviously decided that Chris needed that little message. So,
okay. Other things that came up in the book that I found quite comforting, actually, were spirit's views on things like homosexuality and euthanasia. And can you just explain a little bit about those?
Okay, well, I asked various questions at various times, but they also wanted this particularly this group that I was working with there, the 95 Spirits, they wanted to raise certain issues with me. And I would go in there sometimes and ask questions that, yeah, well, that's fine, but we want to talk about this. And one of them was about homosexuality. And I asked the question, you know, well, is it frowned upon, or is it because a lot of people still think that it's wrong, or it's immoral, or it's dirty, or whatever. And the answer that I got, I thought was quite delightful, because the answer I got was the fact that it doesn't really matter. As long as it is a loving relationship, it is the relationship between two souls that is happening. And if they happen to be in a body that happens to be the same sex, that is not the prime concern. The prime concern is love and the relationship itself. And apparently, quite a few people are coming back because they've had several lives as one sex or one gender, and they're coming back with a lot of that residual energy, shall we say, and maybe some karmic issues too. So if you've been, for instance, had many lives as a woman, and you come back into this life, and there's still a very strong feminine aspect of your life, then that may come out in the fact that you find that you are not, and you come back as a male, you're not really attracted to women. You've got this feminine aspect of yourself, and you're attracted to other men. So there are many, many occasions that this can't just be explained generally, because every case is unique. But the main thing is, it's a loving relationship, and that's it. It's not just done purely for sex or whatever. If it's a loving relationship on the other side, as far as they're concerned, that's fine.
Well, that sounds good. That's good.
Euthanasia was the other one.
Yeah. What do they say about that?
Now, I got a bit of a surprise on this because I must admit I was pretty open-minded about euthanasia, and I could see, having had to, in the course of my life, unfortunately, see some of my beautiful animal friends disappear, and I've had to put a couple down because they were so badly hurt that it would have been a tragedy to leave them alive. So I was open-minded, and when John came back as the spoke spirit for the group and said to me that they actively oppose euthanasia on the other side, I sort of sat up to take notice on that one. I thought, oh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, why? Why would you actively oppose this if somebody is in dreadful pain? Surely if we put a dog or a cat or a horse down, wouldn't we feel the same way for a human being? And the answer is no, because often those last few days, weeks, months, even years, we can learn our greatest lessons in this lifetime from those dreadful times that we're going through. And to just escape through euthanasia, it's tantamount to suicide. It's tantamount to breaking your life contract, and we all have life contracts. Mm. And as such, you are not facing up and learning and growing as your original purpose, your original intention in this lifetime. So it may well be that you've got to come back and do it all over again. So I thought about that for a while. I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. That even though somebody may be bedridden, they may be in a lot of pain, during that time, their soul, their spirit might be going through so many different aspects of what I need to learn to grow here, so that when they do go back to the afterlife, they can leave it all behind them. So to me, it makes sense. Some other people find it a bit difficult to embrace. But once again, as I said, I just pass the information on. I don't tell people what to do or what to believe. I'm only a kind of mouthpiece. When I write the books, it's the information and everything that I get from my own research on that one. So what do you think about that?
I resonate with what you're saying there. You know, I'm a very open-minded person, and if anybody listened to my other shows, we've had all sorts on here, from ghost sex to extraterrestrials. You know, we talk about all sorts of things. And euthanasia, I watched a movie the other night, actually, with Sally Fields in it. It's called 2 Weeks, and it was about her dying of cancer over the two-week period and her four grown-up children and what goes on in that time. And it was really an excellent movie. And it made me think about euthanasia when I was watching it. So it's funny this subject has come up, but it just doesn't feel right. It still feels like you're interfering with your, you know, personal destiny. And as far as I know, the difference with destiny, it's what's written. Certain things at certain points in your timeline are your written destiny, and they will happen no matter what. You can't change them. And I think, exactly, you know, your death is a destiny thing. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one. You mentioned you mentioned about animals there. And I read in your book that you had a black cat called Apollo. I've got a dog called Apollo.
Lovely Apollo, yeah. I still have some pictures of him that come up on my screen every now and then, my screensaver. And look, I sit there, and he was my greatest friend. He actually, now this is interesting, he came to me first of all as a Russian blue cat. When Judy was still alive, we got him between us. He actually jumped out of a pet shop window and landed with me and wouldn't let me go. So I took him home as a little kitten, and I called him Alexander the Grey. And unfortunately, Alex was hit by a truck a couple of years after Judy passed over. But then I was drawn to get another cat, and this little black cat. And I knew I had to get a black cat. And then I got this beautiful little kitten, and I called him Apollo because I always like unusual names for animals. And a very good friend of mine, Tricia McKay, is an animal communicator. And she was telling me that she tuned into Apollo. She'd had chats with him because he was being a bit naughty a few times, so she straightened him out for me. He was bringing me rats for breakfast, you know. I'd come down
lovely
for breakfast, and there'd be a rat spread all over the dining room, you know. Here you are, look what I've given you. Thanks a lot. And anyway, she sorted him out with that one. But she told me that he had, because he'd only had a few years as Alex, he did come back to me as Apollo so that we could have a continuation of the time. So animals reincarnate as well, which is quite interesting. He did exactly the same thing out the front of my house. He went out again and got hit by another truck. So he was killed twice in exactly the same circumstances within about 6 or 7 years.
Wow, that is amazing.
I haven't told that story before. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. When you look at animals, I know you talk about animal spirits in the book being different vibrational frequencies to human spirits, but when I look at animals, I actually see their spirit self. So for example, a couple of years ago, I had a hamster. She died 2 months ago, and I was heartbroken. But she looked like an elemental queen, like a fairy queen you'd see, you know, in the woods with her antlers for a tiara. And my new hamster that I adopted a week after she died, he looks like Buddha, like a big fat Buddha, you know, those ones with the big belly. So I actually see the spirit of the animal, which when I read about animal spirits and human spirits being different, I would question that one slightly, only because of what I can see and what I can pick up from the animal's past lives. So I'm not sure about that one. Do you see the animal spirits at all, or do you see them as an animal?
No, I don't. I just see them for what they are, as my wonderful animal friends. But as I said once before, Janine, I just passed the information on, and I was told, because I made an inquiry, can we come back as animals from lifetime to lifetime? As a human being, can we come back if we're really a bad person? Can we come back as a cockroach or something? And I was told no, because animal spirits vibrate at a different level to human spirits. And when you are on that life chain, as it were, humans come back as humans, animals come back as animals. They can come back as various animals, but they don't come back as human beings. So that's what I was told, and that's, you know, I can only pass that on.
Yeah, but you do mention as well that some spirit do come back as animals because they've got important jobs to do.
Oh, yes.
So it is possible. It is
because they've elected to come back, and these are usually pretty advanced sort of spirits, and they have elected to come back in an animal body because there is something obviously that they can do to influence some activity or some person or whatever. But they are fairly unusual cases, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. I very interesting stuff. Okay, what else have we got on this list that was interesting that I wanted to ask you about? Time. You talk about time in your book. Can you just explain a little bit about the time thing to the audience, please?
Well, time is something that we measure here on Earth, our yearly trip around the sun, 365 days, divide that up into 24-hour days, etc., etc. But it's purely an Earth measurement for the third dimensional reality in which we live. When we go back to the afterlife, it is a different dimension. We are moving back into the fourth dimension initially, and the fourth dimension is that of space and time. There is no time. There is only the now. And then when we go into higher dimensions of reality, it's even more sort of restricted. There is no such thing as the past or whatever. But once we move over there into the afterlife, they are existing in a timeless space. And that's why sometimes we find it very difficult to connect with them, because they're busily doing things and they don't necessarily, they can't always give us advice. Yeah, what should I do next Wednesday? Next Wednesday, you know, well, next Wednesday really doesn't exist for them. It's only the now. So sometimes trying to get advice from the afterlife can be very difficult. Not only because of that, but also because we've got to make up our own minds in many cases. But I asked John, because they go to things like concerts and meetings and speeches and visiting spirits from higher dimensions or higher dimensions and higher levels come down and often give talks and presentations. So how do you know? I mean, we would say, yes, the talk or the concert or whatever is going to start at a certain time. And he explained it to me. He said, well, look, you have a radio program, radiooutthere.com, which goes out on a situation where it's able to be accessed at any one time by anybody who goes on to the onto the website. It's called direct streaming, as opposed to live streaming. If you're listening to a live radio program, it can also be streamed. But with you and Blog Talk Radio and various other radio programs, they are direct streaming. So I said, basically what happens is, this is a kind of direct streaming, so that we are able to be able to work in association with that, to be able to know when a concert is starting, and we can go there at any time in the present that we need to be there. So it sort of explained it, and I'm still a little mystified by it, but anyway, that's the way they work it. But I was wondering how they would have explained that before we understood the whole aspects of digital presentations. Again, there is no such thing as time, because, as I said, Earth time is that. If you were living on Mercury, it only takes 88 days to go around the sun, so your time would be a very different, very different. If you lived on Pluto, well, wow, what's that, 174 years to go around the sun? That's a pretty long day.
Wow. It is a fascinating subject, and it's hard to get your head around. I think it takes people a while to grab the concept of there is only now, and there is no past and future, there is just parallel.
Yes,
if you really
exactly.
think about it. I'm trying to get out of the habit of saying past lives and stick to saying parallels, because it's all going on now, so it is parallel in that respect.
But this is a hard thing with quantum physics, yeah, to be able to understand all these things, but anyway, the human brain can only pick up so much, Janine.
Yeah, I know. We need to really get out there into kind of a deep meditation to try and absorb more knowledge on that level and feel it for yourselves, for it to truly resonate. Yes. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show, Barry. So is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience? And, you know, make sure you let them know where they can find you and your books and your website again.
Okay, thank you. Well, the main message is that we don't die, only the body dies, that we live. And what we do now is really important for the development of our life and the development of our soul. My books, Afterlife and No Goodbyes, are available. And they're available all through America, all through Europe, Australia, everywhere, really. Probably get onto Amazon or get onto Barnes & Noble, or I get a lot of my stuff from Fishpond, actually, interestingly enough. And they're available online as well as in hard copy. My website, probably the best one, get onto my radio website because there's links across there. My website is Radio Out There, three words all joined together, two O's, two T's, radiooutthere.com. And I do a radio program weekly as well. So love to be able to get some new listeners, help spread the word. And thank you very much for having me on the program, Janine.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I mean, obviously, it's a subject that matter that's close to my own heart. I know I just love having people like you on the show, because it's helping everybody to understand that there is more and to let go of that fear. I think they should be teaching this to children in school, so they, you know, they grow up knowing that death is not the end. Maybe one day, hey?
Well, yes, and there is a concerted drive on from Spirit to let people know this. So I think we're going to hear more and more about it as the years go on.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for listening in, and we'll see you next time for more Cosmic Truth.
You have been listening to Cosmic Truth.
Join us next week for more Cosmic Truth.